preach us and teach us from your word, filled with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Galatians chapter 5 in your Bibles. We're going to continue with our study in He That Is Spiritual. I want to give you a verse tonight, a challenge tonight. This is a very important message verse that we all need to hear. By the way, when I preach here, I'm preaching to me first, okay? Don't ever think that the preacher thinks he's arrived. So you all get your, if you got your phones and you're taking notes tonight, take notes. This is good stuff. This will help you. He that is spiritual. We looked at chapter 6 and verse 1, and it's talking about somebody that falls into sin as a Christian. This is not just somebody that, you know, this is talking about a dire need for this person to be helped. And that phrase there in chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, he that is spiritual. And that one phrase disqualifies many of us as Christians because we're not spiritual. Now, you say, how do you know that? Well, if we were spiritual, we'd be bringing people to church with us. We'd be bringing our sheaves with us. We'd be doing the work of the ministry more effectively. God would be doing things greater, and he's not. And that's the problem. That's the problem with churches. That's the problem with preachers that are not filled with the Spirit. They're filled with narcissism, and they're filled with self, and they're filled with the desire to make their own little kingdoms and all this thing. Let me just tell you something, folks. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is the goal that we all should have. Teenagers, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. To be filled with the Holy Spirit, adults, it's going to cost. But it's important that we understand that God wants to do a great work through us. If we're entangled in the world, we're worried about our careers, if we're worried about getting a car, if we're worried about this or worried about that, those are things that God takes care of. God takes care of his children. Amen? And so as we look at this, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you tonight. Look at this verse. Let's all stand. We'll read this and we'll pray and then we'll get into it. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17. Let's read it. Here we go. Galatians 5, 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, or to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Now that's a very strong verse. And so I want to preach tonight a message entitled The Daily Battle. This is a daily battle. It's a daily battle for you. It's a daily battle for me. Nobody ever arrives in this battle. We'll battle till we take our last breath on this earth or until Jesus Christ comes in the clouds. But there's a daily battle. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the day. And we pray, Lord, that you would work. Holy Spirit, you fill this place, fill us. We can't communicate without you. And Lord, I pray that you'd open our hearts, the hearts of everyone here, and we'd understand the brevity and the seriousness of what we're hearing from your word. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to make decisions and walk out of here closer to you and with a desire to be filled with your Holy Spirit on a daily basis. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. At the inception of our relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, there's an introduction made. It's the first time into our soul, and that being the indwelling Holy Spirit. When you get saved, when you receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior, the Bible says you are immediately indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Romans 8:9 that if you do not have the Spirit, you're not saved.
Amen.
And so the Holy Spirit, and so many things happen when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, into our soul. Now, these first moments, these first hours are exciting for the newborn babes in Christ. But then another introduction, as a result of the first introduction, comes, and that is a conflict. There's a conflict between the flesh and the Spirit. That's what we read in this verse. I see these bumper stickers all the time. They say coexist. Mm-hmm. And the bumper stickers are dumb, but they don't work. But let me just tell you something: the flesh and the spirit cannot coexist if you're going to be spiritual. The flesh and the spirit cannot coexist if God is going to do anything through you. The flesh and the spirit cannot coexist if you're going to lead friends to Christ. The flesh and the spirit cannot coexist. And young ladies, when you're looking for a man to marry, you're not going to get a good man. You're going to get a bum that beats you, and you'll never have a happy marriage. Yeah. Same with you guys. Same with you guys. If the flesh is leading you in your relationship, it's not going to work. So there's a battle between, they cannot coexist. You see the scripture here. It's saying the flesh and the spirit cannot coexist. They're opposed to each other. They're opposition. And we in our flesh want a rigid list of do's and don'ts. Okay, I'll live for you, God. Give me a list to check off every day. And that's not what it's talking about here. That's the law. See? He said, preacher, what are the rules? Well, the rule is to be filled with the Holy Spirit and let Him guide you.
Amen.
Okay? So God dispenses that thinking in verse 4. Look what it says in verse 4. It says, Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. He said, you can't be justified, you can't be saved by the law. And you're not saved by the law, but you're not sanctified by the law. If you get saved, it's not a bunch of rules. Okay?
Right, right.
It is being filled with the Holy Spirit and led by the Holy Spirit. Let me just tell you something. We're sorry as preachers, and we ought to apologize as preachers. We get all these how-to manuals, we put them out and sell them. Well, the how-to manual's right here. We can't improve on the how-to manual. And the one that energizes us to live this book is the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And that's important for us to understand. Christ cannot work in our lives. It says they're of none effect. That's sad. That's sad. I know some of you teenagers and some of you adults have lost loved ones you'd like to see saved. And if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, if you're not allowing the Spirit to live through you, your testimony is of none effect. Paul put it this way, that I myself should be a castaway. When I witness to my friends, when I witness to my family, when I try to tell them about Jesus to get saved, they hear, wah, 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 wah. Not important. Because I'm not filled. I want you to understand in verse 7, we're told, it says, ye did run well, who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Listen, folks, when you're in the flesh, you're going to run from truth. You're going to run from what's right. Your life is going to be a lie. You're going to cover up your inconsistencies with lies. He says, why did you run? Why did you run from the truth? Listen, when we get saved, we ought to run to the truth. We ought to want to know the truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Amen.
And so we look in the Bible and we understand in verse 9, it tells us a path of thinking that's sinful. Look what it says. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Now, if you're not cued in on what that means, if you've ever had yeast rolls, yeast rolls are good. They're too good. And anybody, any of y'all ever watch anybody put yeast in dough and everything? It makes that thing rise. And in the Bible, the word leaven has to do with sin. And it says that sin will affect the whole thing. You cannot regard iniquity in your heart. The Bible says the Lord will not hear you.
Amen.
Achan tried to hide his sin that cost him his life and his family's life.
Right.
We're told that our freedom is not the reason to seek fleshly desires. Look at verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. but to love, but by love serve one another. It's important that we need to understand our freedom is for a reason. Now, so what's the lesson here? Well, it begins with understanding that I'm my worst enemy. You're your own BFF, and you're your worst enemy. You're your worst enemy. We lie to ourselves. We build ourselves up, and we're not anything. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. If you can understand, hey, I'm my worst enemy, and I've got to make a choice. I've got to make a choice concerning my spiritual life. I've got to make a choice concerning the filling of the Holy Spirit and the conflict. Now, the choice is, I've got to make the decision to fight. Because this daily battle between the flesh and the spirit is a fight. You don't lose the old nature, the fleshly nature, till you leave this world.
Right.
So there's a battle. But the spirit can win. The spirit can win. Now, every principle here in this chapter, in these chapters, finds its epicenter in the soul of the individual. Nothing can happen with these principles. Nothing is going to work. Nothing is going to change in your life until you make a choice. You make the choice. Not me. I have to make the choice for me. Not your friend, not your mom, not your grandma. You have to make that choice. And that's the problem. That's the problem that we face. It's us. We have to look ourselves in the mirror and look ourselves in the eye in the mirror and say, hey, I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight. Justice, salvation is personal, which you cannot lose. And by the way,
Amen.
You cannot lose your salvation.
Amen.
Once you're saved, you're always saved. Our spiritual well-being is personal. I cannot blame my carnality on anybody but me. I can't blame it on my environment, my teachers, my employers. I can't blame it on anybody but me. Okay? Now, notice some simple thoughts tonight. I want to lay out the battle. Okay? Say, preacher, what's this verse talking about? What's the battle we face? I'm going to give you some battle, and then I'm going to give you some homework. I'm going to give you some things to make, and I hope you write these things down. These will help you. Okay? They help me. They should help you. They're scriptural. Now, notice first of all, number one, the flesh. It talks about the flesh there. Notice what it says in the verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against spirit. What is that talking about? That's talking about your human nature. That's talking about your carnality. That's talking about the old nature. That's talking about how we are when we're born and how we are till we die. We have that flesh. It's talking about how we are in totality without Jesus. See? Jesus makes all the difference when he comes into our lives. And so this is our senses. This flesh is our senses unchecked by the Spirit. Our senses unchecked by the Spirit. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you can't commit murder or adultery or fornication. Doesn't mean it. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you're on cruise control and everything will be all right and you're Teflon Don and all this stuff. You're not. If somebody tells you that, they're a liar. It's not in the Bible. And so we're capable of doing the worst sin. So that's the flesh. That's the flesh. And that flesh continues. That flesh continues and it uses your senses. What are your senses? What are the senses that we have? How many senses we have? Some people don't have any sense. What are the senses we got? Name them.
Spider sense.
Wait a minute.
Sight.
Hearing.
Smell.
Touch.
Taste.
Now all those you take those senses and you take sin and you can relate how those senses can be used for sense. Another Darian, pray for Marissa. He said spidey sense. Help us, Lord. Your sense is out of control. Your sense is out of control. The only way you can check your senses is by the Holy Spirit. Now, you guys on the back, listen to me. Quit having him come over there to you guys. Sit up and listen to me for a few minutes. This is good for you guys. You guys probably need it more than anybody else back there, except for Gianni. The flesh. The flesh. Who said that? Glay. I wrote this message for you. But the spirit. Now the flesh. Now listen. That's how we are. The flesh. The flesh says to you when somebody does something to you, you know, I don't get mad. I get even. The flesh, when somebody says something to you, wants you to raise your hand up and give them the sign. Right? Now, you guys laugh at that, but you see that in school all the time. You hear the F word. You hear all those words. I'm not talking about fire truck either. And you guys hear that. You hear nastiness and I'm telling you, way back when I was in junior high, there were some girls in my class that made me blush the way they talked.
Wow.
Yeah. You say, what is that? That's a flesh. What is that? That's a flesh. What causes us to mess with our bodies and advertise our bodies out to everybody? That's the flesh. It's wickedness. What causes people to kill people? The flesh. And that's what you're battling. Let me tell you something. It's a battle. Don't let anybody tell you that it's not, because they're a liar. Don't let somebody get up and say, when I got saved, I didn't have any problems. Well, they're on drugs.
Amen.
They're messed up. They overdosed on Flintstone vitamins or something. Anyhow, number two, notice this, the spirit. Here's the battle, the flesh and then the spirit. The indwelling spirit. The day you receive Christ as personal Savior, the Spirit of God shows up.
Amen.
And it's something that you've never experienced before. And you've got a choice. Because those first weeks, those first months with the Spirit of God in your life, that Spirit of God, you say something, the Spirit of God goes, hey, let's talk.
Amen.
Shouldn't do that. Shouldn't think that. Spirit of God. You say, what is it? Here's what it is. It is the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of Jesus. It is the Holy Spirit that comes into you, into your soul, into the eternal part of you. The immortal. Let me just say something. Your soul lives on, either in hell or in heaven,
right?
In the lake of fire, or in heaven. And when your soul is saved, God comes in. So everywhere you go, everything you look at, everything you say, everything you see, the Holy Spirit, God sees that. God sees that. So there's a battle. There's a battle to be faithful. Battle to be faithful to church. There's a battle to read your Bible. Who gets up in the morning and says, I can't wait to read my Bible? I'm thinking about something to eat.
Amen.
Especially when Miss Creed is frying some bacon or sausage.
Amen.
You read your Bible, preacher? Yes. I know when I read that Bible, it is going to wear me out.
A lot of people don't want to read the Bible because it doesn't. One fellow told me, he said, I read the Bible, I get depressed. I said, well, you get right. You get depressed less.
Right. Amen.
So there's a battle. Young people, the world you live in today is nothing like. Listen, when I was in elementary school, I remember when I was in sixth grade, everybody was talking. You know what they were talking about? They're going to let girls wear pants to school. Everybody's going, oh no. When, in school, when I went to school, if you did something wrong, you know what happened? You bent over and touched your toes and got the Board of Education to the seat of knowledge. You said, did it ever happen to you? Yeah. You all know I'm ornery. You know what? I was ornery in school. So there's a battle. There's a battle. And you're going to get up. You're going to go to bed tonight. And you're going to get up tomorrow morning. And the battle is on. And you're going to go to bed the next night. And the battle is on. And you're either going to be a loser or a winner. Now, notice again, number three, the opposition. Notice what it says in that verse. Look at verse 17, will you? Put it up there. It says, and these, look at that phrase, and these are contrary one to another. Listen, they are adversarial. There is no compromise. There's no mixing. You cannot say, I'm going to have a little bit of the flesh and a little bit of the spirit. Just ain't working. It's not going to happen. You can't do it. They don't mix. They're contrary. They're going in the opposite direction. They are diametrically opposed. There is no compromise and there is no mixing them together. They're contrary. Number four, notice this, the shame. Look what it says in verse 17. So that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Now I want you to look at that phrase. So that ye cannot do the thing that ye would. There is not a Christian that doesn't think when they read the Bible and they see Goliath, put one on that big dude. You cannot read the book of Esther, young ladies, and not in your heart say, why let God use me? Are you with me, adults? We, in our lives, we say, I want to be used. I want God, and it's not for me to be lifted up. I just want God to use me. I want God to do that. I need that. I've got friends that need to be saved. I've got friends that need to be influenced. And we've got to think, God worked through me. And that phrase says, so that you could not do the things that you would. I cannot allow the flesh to be preeminent in my life. He's got to be gone if God's going to work. There's no alternative. We go on the battle. Everybody know what the battle is? It's the flesh and the spirit. You got them both. If you're saved, say amen.
Amen.
If you're saved, you got the Holy Spirit, you got the flesh. And 1-1 today. O-N-E-W-O-N today.
I just learned to spell those two words.
So what am I supposed to do, preacher? What am I supposed to do? The battle is here. What am I supposed to do? What can you give me some things to help me? Let me give you seven things, okay? And I'll hurry through these things. Number one, notice this. Look at verse 17. Number one, I must be willing to admit there is a conflict. Anybody can float like a dead fish downstream. Takes a live fish to swim upstream. You say, preacher, I know Christianity is just I've got my thing going, man. I got my groove on, man. I got it going. I got my way of doing things. Preacher, I this is the way I am. This is the way I was raised. I'm tired of, listen, don't tell me, tell God. There's a battle. It's a battle. That song says it's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. And there's a battle out there. I played soccer my senior year in high school. We were 20-2. And I think I had 28 goals that season. I had four games. I went three goals, four goals in those games. So that's, most of them came in four games. So we went to the state championship. We went to the state championship at Lancaster Bible College. And we played Heritage Christian from Hagerstown, Maryland. And it was 0-0 at the end of the match. And the coaches brought the captains, me and another fella, and their fella. Said, what do you want to do? I said, we said, let's play till we drop. Let's play 5-minute overtimes, sudden death. So the refs agreed to it. And our right wing came down and crossed it. And one of our guys put it in. We won. We were state championships that year. And then we were invited to the Wilds Tournament in Brevard, North Carolina. Beautiful camp out there. And we were just a bunch of hustlers. We weren't very finesse. We hustled. We had a lot of speed. I was center half. And off the bus came these guys from Vandalia Christian School, and they were juggling the soccer balls. And I said, oh no. And as it turned out, we were in a championship game with them. And I scored one to tie it up the second half. And then we had penalty kicks. And I had the last shot. I scored, we won. So we won those two championships that year. Let me just tell you something. At the end of both those games, we were toast. You know why? Because it was a battle. And there wasn't a player on our team that didn't have scrapes and scratches and blood, but it was worth it. Now, you've got to admit, before you do anything, that it's going to be a battle. Every day. So there's a battle. Some Christians are just fine the way they are. Number two, not only admit there's a conflict, but number two, I must be willing to fight every moment of my life.
Amen.
Every moment. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witness. David said, is there not a cause? Now let me say this. You are going to sin, and I am going to sin. It's what we do with that sin. The Spirit-filled Christian confesses it. And the Spirit-filled Christian asks God to help them forsake it. I must be willing to fight every moment of every day. Number three, get this down. I must be willing to be called a fool for Christ. What we do as Christians to the world today, now more than ever, is foolish. Christ raised the dead, made the blind to see, lame to walk, and they crucified him. The Bible says this, 1 Corinthians 4:10, we are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised.
You see, the Christian's career track is a fool to the world. You go where? How many times a week you go out and tell people what? What do you give that to the church? What do you don't do this? You can't come to the Christmas party because we have alcohol? What's wrong with you?
Amen.
You don't smoke dope? Our neighborhood, Miss Creed, was walking up the steps. She said, "What's that smell?" I said, "It's marijuana." She said, "How do you know?" I just know.
Amen.
I haven't ever smoked it, but I know people have. It's a different smell.
Exactly.
It's everywhere.
Right.
You guys see it all the time. Y'all see it all the time. You know people. Oh, come on, man. You need to lighten up a little bit, right? Right? Lighten up a little bit. No. Hey, listen. You're going to be called a fool. Number four, I must be willing to be emptied of self. Turn real quick to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And this is the Beatitudes, but I want to read these for you quickly. How do I empty myself? Look at chapter 5, and I believe it begins with verse 2, John. 5 and verse 2. Yeah. Or verse 3. It says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Say, what is that, preacher? To accomplish what I just read, you can't have any selfishness. You have to have God. You have to move self out and let the Holy Spirit in.
Amen.
Not happening. Number 5. Look at verse 12. "I would they were cut off, which trouble you." Hey, listen. There are going to be times that you're going to have to cut people off.
Amen. That's right.
Some of your friends that you think are your friends, they're your enemies. Yeah. Some people, you just got to cut them loose.
Amen.
Cut them loose. Number six, look at verse 7. "I must be willing to obey truth. Ye did run well." Look what it says. "Who did hinder you that you should not obey truth?" That's the biggest thing, to obey. Obey is not a kid thing. It's a life thing. It's a thing that helps us. Obedience is where many of us go wrong. I want you to understand this. If you're not going today, if you do not know you're going in the direction, listen, if you do not know right now that you're doing exactly what God wants you to do right now, it's like when we're going somewhere, I think I have directions, and my wife says, "Are we going over? Do we take a wrong turn?" And I will not stop in this direction. And that's not going wrong. That's not going wrong. And you just keep on going. And every mile you go, out of the way, that means you're going to have to turn around and come that mile back. You understand that? Listen to me. If you're going the wrong direction as a Christian today, every mile you go away from God, you're going to have to come back that far.
Wow. That's right. That's true.
And you're getting deeper and deeper. The Bible says sin will take you far. Or not the Bible, but sin will take you farther you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. And so, hey, listen, you're getting directions tonight. I'm getting directions tonight. What's the big deal? We've got the map right here. Obey. Then number 7, and I'm finished. I must understand, look at verse 13, I must understand my liberty in Christ is for service. Look at verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. What is he saying? God has freed you. Freed you from the world, the flesh, and the devil. What has he freed you to? It says, only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh. Hey, you're free to make the right decision. Make the right decision, not the fleshly decision. And notice what's the last phrase say? But by love, serve one another. God has freed us from the world, the flesh, and the devil. Freed us from worry about where we'll spend eternity. Freed us from worry about where we can find the truth. Freed us from worrying about where our next meal comes from. Huh? He's got our back. So he says, in love, serve other people. It's a battle. And you're going to have to admit that it's a battle. And you're going to have to say, hey, I'm going to fight. Had a young man on my basketball team years ago. His name's John Wiley. His dad was at Prince George's Community College as their basketball coach. John coaches at a big high school in over the bridge in just over the bridge in Virginia. John had an unorthodox shot. I mean, but he hit it. He played for Liberty Baptist College, and so we were playing a game. Glade. It was a Thanksgiving tournament. We traveled up to Ephrata, Pennsylvania, four teams, and I had one kid, my low post center. Had something else with his family. Then three other guys got in trouble in school, and so I had John and my bench. If I'd had all the guys, if they'd have stayed straight, if those four guys had been there, we'd have cakewalked that tournament. We'd have killed those people. We'd have beat them in the ground. We'd have run them out of the gym. So the first night, we lost the game, and not by much. We played some gimmicks and different things. I had a bunch of I called it our freak up defense, but I played a small 1-3-1, which drove people crazy, and then we played a 3-2, and we played a 3-2 matchup. And we would change every time down, and they didn't know what we were doing. And we played a 1-3-1 and kept them close. We almost won the game. So we went home, we slept, we came back to play the consolation game with the home team. So we came in, we huddled up, we had the last quarter. We were down by 25 points. I mean, second quarter. So I said to the guys, I said, look, don't leave anything out. Don't leave anything here. Lay it all out. And so they were walking out, and John Wiley took a couple steps and he stopped. John was not a loud person. He said, Coach, the gym was completely quiet. He said, we may not win, but we're coming back. And John, he would, I told John, I said, when you get over half court, you know, if you feel it throw it up, he got hot. I mean, it was not anything, but you didn't even hear the rim swung.
I mean, he brought up the angel of the Lord.
And so, I mean, we were down with some minutes to go, and John had some unbelievable skills. He got down close to the floor, like, I mean, he had cat-like hands on the dressing. And got some 3 points. We tied it, we went into overtime, and we beat him.
Wow.
We beat him. You know why we beat him? Because one guy said, I'm going to fight. We may not win this game, but we're coming back. I'm not giving up. And that bench went into defense mode. I mean, it was incredible. It was a good, great win. We were excited. And that's what you're going to have to do. You're not so far down the road as a Christian away from God. Your life is not so messed up that you can't say, no, I'm not perfect inside of heaven. I'm going to come back. I'm going to come back. I may have to come all the way back the day I got saved, start over. Get some help. God's will. Amen?
Amen.
Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. No one's looking around. You say, preacher, if I die today, I know for sure I go to heaven. Christ is my Savior. Heaven is my home. Would you slip your hand up? I'm born again. You may put your hands down. You say, preacher, I don't know that I'm saved. But if I know my heart, I'd like to know Christ. I'm not saved. I don't know that if I die to go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up? Anybody? Okay, I'm speaking to Christians. I'm speaking to me too. Will you take up the battle, daily battle? Will you realize you have that flesh, but that spirit, if you'll empty yourself, and it's not rocket science, because the spirit is there. It's like walking in the dark and busting your head on the wall and not flipping on the switch. The Holy Spirit wants to fill you. The Holy Spirit wants you to know that you can be the best you for God if you'll fight. Now, if God spoke to you tonight, I'm going to ask you to get alone with Him. Pray, and we're going to take some time. Father, bless the invitation. Work in our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. No one looking around. If God spoke to you, you want to get alone with Him, come on forward. Got any fighters in here? Got any people willing to take up the fight? Amen. One came. What about you? Got one fighter. By the way, God can do great things we want. Amen. You may be seated. Let somebody get an offering plate. Let's pray. Lord, bless the gift and the giver according to thy word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. How many more days till school starts? That got a rise. Amen. All right, good to see everybody. Let's close. Let's stand and be close in prayer. Everybody stand up. Let's pray. Chris, lift your voice. Pray for us.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. Praise you for the day. We thank you for the Savior. We pray for you to go. will suffer. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.